Father, I thank you, Lord. Your children are again gathered together for fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Lord and with one another. And we know, as always, we declare the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. In the name of Jesus. And in this gathering today, let there be light. Hallelujah. And let there be understanding. Shower, O God, upon us the grace of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the wisdom of God, illuminate our minds, and let us be encouraged, and everybody be lifted up, even as we share with one another, and the Lord receive all the glory, give you all the praise and glory, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen. So, yesterday, if you were here, powerful, powerful declarations all around, everyone in the room. And I did promise that we're going to continue today because I had to close it down tomorrow. I was really in a high tempo, but we had to close it down. Hopefully we can pick that up again today. But as a quick review, in case anybody missed yesterday's room and they haven't had a chance to listen, the topic is testimonies today and victories tomorrow. Praise the Lord. So today's testimonies lead to tomorrow's victories. And the key verse that we use for that is taken out of Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by their word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And so we spoke about the word of your testimony, even in the heat of the battle. We spoke about giving testimony to the Lord when the Lord has done great things for us. The Bible says, I will testify in a great congregation. I will speak of the mercies of the Lord forever. So all the good things that the Lord has done for us, it's always good for us to come back and give testimony. Jesus said, where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God except this one stranger. And, it's a good thing for us to return to give glory to God. And so that's one way of giving testimony. When the Lord has done great things, we come and give testimony of what he has done. So we talked about that, not to discount that at all. We must always do that. Show our gratitude to the Lord and even use the testimony to glorify his name, and perhaps somebody might be encouraged when they hear that. So that's a great way of giving testimony to the Lord, and the most common way, actually. So people, do that. And, but we have spoke also about using your testimony as a weapon, because he said they overcame him with the word of their testimony. So that's something they used in the fight. And you can do prophetically speak the word of God. So I want to emphasize that today. The reason we call it prophetic is because every time that you declare the word of God that God has said, even though it hasn't come to pass yet, that's prophetic. Prophecy, most times reveal, what lies ahead. And, Jesus gave a powerful scripture for us of the role of the Holy Spirit, John 16 and 13. And if you can catch this revelation, among other things that Jesus was, introducing that the Holy Spirit would do for us when he would come, at that time, the disciples had not yet receive the Holy Spirit. But we have the Holy Spirit now. But among other things that he said, I love this one, so powerful. John 16 and 13 said, that the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. But that's the same thing when we are claiming to be speaking, for the Lord, speaking on behalf of the Lord. We cannot speak for ourselves. We only can speak what the Lord gives us to speak. But I love this part, you know, even more so. He said, and he will show you things to come. Now, that's prophetic. Things to come in your own life, not just world events and different things like that, but things to come in your own life. The things that you are believing God for, Holy Spirit will show you embracing those things already, even before you see them. And once you understand that and you can key into what the Holy Spirit is showing you, my goodness, you begin to testify of it, even though you haven't seen it yet. Powerful, powerful testimonies that we received in the room yesterday. You know, you may be praying for and believing God for a new job. Well, Holy Spirit will show you on that job before you get there. Those are things to come. And the moment he shows it to you, you say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. And you begin to praise him and testify about it even before you physically get it. And so people are afraid to do that because they say, well, what if I say so? And then it doesn't come to pass. Well, then it will not come to pass. That's how it works. The moment you doubt it, Jesus said, it will not work. Mark 11:23. You must say it and not doubt it, but believe in your heart that those things you said will come to pass. Then you will have whatever you said. But if you doubt in your heart, say, well, I don't know about that. You know, if I say it, what if it doesn't come to pass? Then it might not come to pass. You know, but so don't doubt it. Believe it. God is able. You know, God has the capacity. If God didn't have the capacity, he wouldn't instruct us to do it. He has the capacity to back it up. Glory to God. So speak it for. There are some powerful, powerful declarations yesterday. You know, one sister spoke of herself as married. You know, perhaps you believe in the Lord for getting married, and the Holy Spirit will show you walking down that aisle. And glory to God. And once you see it, you latch onto it. So powerful. You know, you may not see it physically, as in open vision. Well, open vision can come in many ways. You can see a night vision, a dream. And the Lord can even show it to you in your mind's eye. You can see it. Either which way, once you get a glimpse of what the Lord is going to do for you, get behind it. And or your Lord may declare it to you, you know, by, you know, the word of God. You can find it in the written word, or you can find, or the Lord may speak it to you. You know, the power of the written word and the power of the spoken word, it's all the same. But I dare say that you've got to believe the written word first before you can, you know, hear the spoken word anymore. Because now we have the written word. You know, in those days when they first started out, it was mostly the spoken word. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Well, that voice, you know, has been spoken. Oh, that voice has spoken many things, and people have written it down and said the scripture came not of old time, you know, by private interpretation, but holy men of God, you know, they spoke and wrote it also as they were moved and instructed by the Holy Spirit. So now we have it, you know. So once you have it, well, and you believe it. Jesus also promised that my sheep will hear my voice. They'll follow me. But if you're not, you know, obeying the scriptures, the written scriptures, or if you're not taking advantage of the written scriptures, just waiting for, you know, some prophetic word here or there, you may be shortchanging yourself. There's a lot of prophetic word already in the Bible. And, you know, Jesus, he told a parable, you know, of, there was a man in the Bible you know, who was a poor man. His name was Lazarus. And there was another rich man who fared sumptuously in his ways. The poor man sat somewhere at his gate. Dogs were licking his wounds. And he wanted some help. I think he probably was ignored. Well, both of them died. And the poor man, somehow, because he was believing God, you know, it was carried to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man, because he trusted only in his riches, he was on the other side and lifted up his eyes in torment. Now, it doesn't mean that all poor people will go to heaven or that all rich people will not make it. This is just an example. But what I want to bring out in this story is the rich man, when he's lifted up his eyes and was in torment. You can read the story in Luke chapter 16. You know, he said, well, you know, let this other man come and give me something to cool my thirst here. Abraham answered, I said, no, we cannot, because there's a great gulf fixed between us. And then he said, well, okay, if that's not the case, can you send to, you know, the earth, my brothers that are still there, to warn them so that they don't come into this place of torment? And you will be surprised that the answer that Abraham gave, he said, no, well, you enjoyed your good things, and this man enjoyed his evil things. He's comforted now. You are tormented. It's great God fixed. We can't do it. And so he said, well, send somebody then for my five brothers so that they won't come into this place. He said, no. This is what Abraham said. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. You know, so they already have the Torah. They have all the writings of the prophets. I said, let them hear those. See, if they don't believe that, they're not going to believe anything. Even someone came from the dead. So we have the scriptures now. If you don't take advantage of the scriptures, and you're looking for some prophetic word elsewhere, you're shortchanging yourself. You already have the scriptures. And so you can make prophetic prayers at any time by finding the word of God that relate to your situation, and then speak that word. Now, that makes it prophetic. So, you know, you don't need somebody to prophesy over you. You can prophesy the word of God into your own life. That's how it works. You know, praise the Lord. And we can walk in that prophetic realm all the time. You don't need to be a prophet to do it. I mean, people are always thinking that, you know, somebody needs to be a prophet to do this. No. You know, you could be in the prophetic realm, whether you are in the prophetic office or not. All you got to do is speak the word of God. That's what makes it prophetic. When God has said he's going to do something and you don't see it just yet, but you can believe it and speak it, and that makes it prophetic. It's that simple. And you can prophesy to that situation. I'm going to tell you a quick story here before I yield it to everybody that still want to declare some powerful declarations yesterday. And I went and prayed some more for everyone that declared something powerfully yesterday. I said, well, Lord, you heard it. The angels heard it. They said it. Yeah. So now the ball is in your court, Lord. Your people have spoken. And you said, as they have spoken, so will I do. So therefore, do. Hallelujah. You know, and I am assured that the Lord is going to do. But let me tell you, you know, this story of how you can prophesy, you know, to situations, to change the situation. Now, remember, the power to create change is in his word, in God's word. That's how God did it at the beginning. He saw that everything was chaotic. He said the earth was void and without form. There was chaos everywhere. And he didn't like it. So he began to speak to the situation to bring change. Hallelujah. He looked at the darkness. He did not like it. You know, because when he formed, something happened over there that brought all that darkness, and said, well, let there be light. You know, so cause it to happen. That light will shine forth out of darkness. Yeah. And that's how it came. Well, let the waters be gathered together on this side and this side, and let the dry land appear. That's why it came. Let this, let this, let that. He spoke to change the situation. You know, when there was dryness, he said, well, let something happen. And he did. When there was no fruit tree, he said, well, let the earth bring forth abundantly. And it was. You know, and so, you know, we learn that of God. Once we have learned it, because the series we just concluded, you know, learning of him, to know him, to become like him, well, there's many advantages to that too. So in this story, in Ezekiel chapter 37, there was this man that was going to act out this thing that we're talking about here. God will show us how to do it. You know, so his name was Ezekiel. And the Lord took him in this spirit to the midst of the valley that was full of bones, he said, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very, very dry. I mean, these bones, we don't know how long they've been there. I mean, they were not only dry, they had fallen apart, they had been disengaged. You know, a person's body has many bones and joints and so forth, you know, all connected. Well, in this case, they were all over the place, scattered. And, you know, so the Lord asked him a question. See this dry situation here where everything is scattered and nothing together? I mean, it's like everything is in pieces. You know, some of our lives feel like that at times. Our life is shattered and broken in pieces and so forth. I mean, it just looks like, you know, it's just a mess. Well, the question is, can these bones live again? Can these pieces come back together? That was what God asked Ezekiel. And the man was very smart. You know, he said, well, I don't know, but thou knowest, you know. So the Lord said, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. You know, you're going to have to do something about it. Yeah, that's it. You know, it's not God that's going to change that situation. He's going to tell you what to do, and then you are going to do it to change that situation. Yeah? That's what he's showing us here in the story of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, well, I don't know. God said, well, I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you how. You know, so God said to him, first thing he said, there were two instructions he gave him here. The first one he said is, he said, prophesy upon these bones. You know, the bones were scattered everywhere. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now that's how you do it. When you speak to your situation, make sure you are using the word of the Lord, because everything is subject to God's word. Everything. Even things that have no human life, as we think. Trees, stones, everything. They can hear that word. That's right. You know, they can hear that word. And you speak that word, they can hear it. Speak to your situation. That situation can hear the word. Use the word. Say, hear ye the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord for your situation? Well, find it. Find it first before you declare this thing, because it's the word that you're going to declare. His word, not just yours. You know, so, well, find that word. Do a little homework. Search the scriptures, you know, and find the promises that align with what you are believing God for. You can find five smooth stones of the brooks. David did. And, you know, five smooth stones and his sling. That's how he came out against Goliath. While those smooth stones, they can represent the promises of God. Do your due diligence. Find a promise that goes, promise or promises that go with what you are believing God for. And then your sling is your faith. You got to put your faith with those promises. Because if those promises are not mixed with faith, they do nothing. Promises of God by itself, even though they are yea and amen, they have no effect where there is no faith. If it's not mingled with faith, it will profit nothing to anybody. So you take your sling, that's your faith. You take those promises, you know, the stones, you go out against Goliath, you know. So what is the Goliath that you are facing today? Well, let's find some promises and let's take our sling. Let's go out against it and let's speak the word of God against it. So this man was told, prophesy upon these bones. You look at the dead situation. Well, speak the word of the Lord to it and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones. At this point in time, when you are saying, thus saith the Lord, your voice is God's voice. It's that simple. You know, because you are repeating his word upon the situation. Then you say, well, the Lord said, behold, I will cause bread to enter into you. Yeah, you can see that this is something God already saw and is teaching Ezekiel how to bring the future into now. That's right. That's how you bring the future into now. You bring tomorrow's victories into now by your testimonies today of the thing that is going to happen tomorrow. That's right. If you can catch that revelation, it's so powerful. You know, so he said, well, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. They were still dead at the time, but still very, very dry. But now here comes the prophetic word upon the dead and dry situation. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. You can take that and apply it to see your situation. You can unpack this word that God gave Ezekiel here, and you can see that it can apply to any situation. It's a situation in your life that's been dead, very dead. These bones were very dry. Only God knows how long they've been like that. Because they were all disengaged, you know, scattered all over the place. Very, very dry. All the flesh had consumed away. And even the bones had fallen apart. You know, they were no longer attached. And when he prophesied, he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Glory to God. You know, and as I prophesied, see, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Now, why was there a noise as he prophesied? Why wasn't there a noise before that? Before he did anything about it, those bones were dead. And if he didn't do anything about it, those bones would remain dry and dead. He had to do something about it. This is what we are trying to emphasize in this lesson. You've got to do something about the situation, you know, that's on the ground. So he spoke as he was commanded. And as he was commanded, remember, we've quoted this scripture so many times in Psalm 103, verse 20. It said, the angels that excel in strength, that hearken, you know, I mean, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. So those angels are waiting for Ezekiel to say something here. You know, and as he began to say it, the angels went into action because they do his commandment. The word of God is a commandment. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke and it was done. Now, once you command it, the angels hear it And that's how they began to move things into position. And that's where you heard the noise. All those noise called, you know, probably coming from the angels moving, rushing back and forth and doing something on the background because of what you spoke. That's right. Yeah. Because it's, and the bones, now the bones are coming together. He said, wow. And he's looking, you know, and he said, man, the bones are came together. That's why I told you the bones were scattered. Now they're coming together, bone to his bone. And you see, those things, those bones are scattered all over the place. The bone of one man is not going to cleave to the bone of the other man. They are going to obey the word of God. And they are going to come into position exactly the way they should be. Not all messed up again. But the word of God shall now come. Word of God is now come. And they will obey. And so the bones began to come together. Bone to bone. And so forth like that. And behold, the sinews and flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them above. But yet, there was no breath. So, that's phase one. You know. Now, phase two comes. I'll tell you in a minute. Phase one, we just finished it. So, phase two comes. And sometimes, it's like this, you know. And I'll tell you why. Even Jesus, you know, when he commanded by his voice, Lazarus to come out of the grave. Lazarus came out of the grave and he was still bound with grave clothes. That was phase one. And phase two, Jesus said, well, lose him and let him go. You know, sometimes there's dual action that need to be, to happen there. And in this case, phase one happened, but there still was no life. But you could see that they were already, now the bones are prepared. Again, they're back. They look like human beings now. They're no longer just scattered bones all over the place. But they can't do anything. They can't talk. They can't see. They can't do nothing. But they do look like human beings now. So, well, there's one more thing you got to do. You're partnering with God throughout the process. You know, God wasn't doing it. He was just instructing the man on what to do. This is the key thing I'm trying to bring out here. You know, God wasn't doing it. He was just instructing the man what to do. And so the next thing that God wanted the man to do was, okay, well, looks like God's already done something here, but it's not quite there yet. Well, you ask Holy Spirit, what's next? Holy Spirit will tell you what's next. This is strategy, step by step. And so he tells him, well, this time around, you've already prophesied upon the bones. That's fine. You know, this time around, you are going to prophesy unto the winds. Wow. The bones were on the ground. You put your prophecy on them. They came alive. Well, the winds are somewhere. You're going to speak to the winds to come, you know, from wherever. That's an assist. That's called spiritual assist. Glory to God. That's called, you know, divine helpers, you know, purpose and destiny helpers that come in to that situation. Maybe a situation that needs that kind of thing, you know. So you're going to call them forth from wherever they are. Destiny helpers, they're coming. Glory to God. So call in the cavalry. That's how they say it in America here. So you're going to call in the cavalry. So here he speaks to the wind this time. He said, wind, you know, thus saith the Lord. Each time it's thus saith the Lord. Come forth from the four winds, O breath. And breathe upon this slain. Hallelujah. That they may live. So again, I prophesied as he commanded me. Each time, you got to do it exactly as he gives to you. You know, don't step out of line. You do it like he told you. Strategy. You know, and then, well, what happened was the breath came into them. They lived and stood upon their feet. You know, my goodness, you know, the bones came together. Just picture it in your head. And they were, but they were still there, laying down. Not, but you can see the form. They are now looking like human beings, but they are still kind of dead. No breath, no life. They're still on the ground. Now, God gives you next step, next instructions. You know, you got to bring in, call in the cavalry. You got to bring in some spiritual wind to blow upon the situation. You're still going to be doing it by calling it forth. And then the next thing happens, something else begin to happen. It was an incredible sight, and he witnessed it. And with this lesson, the Lord shows us something powerful, a great exceeding army that came out. And he said, well, the Lord said, well, these bones are like the whole house of Israel. Their situation is dry, dead. Some of them say the Lord has forsaken us and so on and so forth. You know, well, you know, I will open your graves, said the Lord, cause you to come out of those graves, bring you out in the land of Israel. You know, this is a powerful depiction of how, you know, you walk with God in the situation to rectify and remedy that situation. And God wants you to do it that way. The Lord tells you, I'm bringing rain to destroy the whole world. Your name is Noah. Never been any rain. So the people are mocking. What is the rain? We never seen any such thing. All we had is mist. Lord said, well, I'm going to flood this whole place and wipe them out. But you are going to build an ark. Now, the Lord already told you the storm is coming, but you are the one that's going to build the ark. God didn't build the ark for Noah. Never did. But he did show him where to find the wood. Praise the Lord. They gave him instruction on how to build the ark. And I guarantee you, Noah tried many times and, you know, kept trying. The ark wasn't quite coming together. That's why it took so long. But, you know, God said, I will not destroy the earth until you finish that ark. That's right. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It took him however long it took him. God continued to instruct him. Well, he didn't come back one day and say, Lord, this thing is not working. The thing is falling apart. God said, well, try it again. Go back and get some more wood. And he got worked with him 120 years. Took him a long time. You know, but he stayed with it and God gave him instruction. But he's the one that's going to do it. God's not going to do it. He will tell you what to do and you are going to do it. I said the other day, I said, God doesn't make furniture, but he makes wood. And you're going to have to create that furniture out of the wood. You know, so Noah was the one that built the ark. But God told him how to do it. You know, so in these situations, we have to walk with the Lord. You know, people just sit back and enjoy, you know, trust that the Lord will just do everything. Or maybe so, you know, in old times. But these days, no. He wants you to partner with him in the situation at hand. And Jesus showed us same kind of things. I told you the story yesterday, you know, and which you yourself have read. In several of the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, they are there. Yeah, where, you know, Jesus took a small boy's lunch, blessed it, put it in the hands of the disciples. And I've often said to people that consider that story. Because the way the story is reported is that Jesus fed multitudes. I say, well, Jesus didn't feed any multitudes. Jesus gave a blessing, put a blessing on the boy's lunch, put it in the hands of the disciples. You know, it was the disciples that actually fed the multitude. Even though it was reported as Jesus doing it, it's kind of like they said, oh, Jesus is baptizing more disciples than John. But Jesus himself didn't baptize anybody. It was the disciples that were baptizing, but they, you know, they gave the credit to Jesus. Well, we give the credit to Jesus of any miracles that he does through our hands. He gets the credit because he's the one doing it through us. However, you are going to be used to do it. And this is the part that people miss, you know, that when Jesus blessed the loaves and fishes, put in the hands of the disciples, he just walked away. It was done. His part was done. Now it's in your hands to go do what he said. He gave them strategy. Set them down in companies, in 50s and whatever. But you're the one that's going to feed them, not Jesus. You know, you're going to feed them. You know, so, you know, this is how prophetic prayers works. You find the word and God will give you faith. You use your faith in the word of God to change the situation. you can look at it as if God is the one changing it. Well, maybe so, but he's inspiring you to do it, you know, but you will be the one. Put the word in your mouth. The word is in your mouth. The Lord said, while you are yet speaking, while the word is still in your mouth, you got to be a partner in this situation. And that's a declaring. And you don't need to go look for some prophet to declare the word of God to you. This is another error that people do. They're looking for some prophetic word. They go from one room to another room to look for some prophetic word from some anointed man or woman of God. You know, and they can give it to you. But sometimes they can make merchandise of you as well. You know, you can do it yourself. God told the children of Israel, I want you to be a kingdom of priests to me. You, not Moses, you. But they said, no, we can't do it. Well, then Moses became a prophet. You know, so, you know, we make prophets unto ourselves, you know, by we ourselves thinking we can't do it, and you're looking for somebody else to do it. So you make somebody a prophet over you. Look, you got the Spirit of God. You got the Word of God. You know, you use your faith. These are tools that God has already given you. Let your toolbox be filled with these things and use them. And so that's what we were teaching in the room yesterday. Not quite these words, but that's the essence of it, that you can use your word of testimony today. And the testimony can be you just speaking the word of God. When the Lord says, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15 and 26. When the Lord said, I will take sickness away from thee, you know, Deuteronomy 7:15. When the Lord says, you know, the inhabitants of the land shall not say they are sick, Isaiah 33 and 24. When the Lord says, you know, in Jeremiah 30 and 17, you know, I will heal you of your wounds and I will restore health unto you. I mean, you find these scriptures. You can find five smooth stones. And then you put your faith in them. I guarantee you, there's more promises in the Bible than five for your situation. But even if it is one that you found, it's good enough. But if you find five, it's really great. Now, he found five stones. He did. But he only needed one. When he went out against Goliath, he actually used only one. But he had five. Had five in his pouch. But he needed only one. So it's a little bit, you got to do your diligence. You know, you took time to pick out five stones. And as you were picking out, you know, the Lord, you know, the light just shone. You know, they have this Urim and Tumim, the ephod that will shine, you know, something. When they asked the Lord, they didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. You say, you know, ask the Lord something, the priest is wearing this thing, and then the light will flicker one way or the other to tell them yes or no. Well, as David was looking at those stones, yeah, I believe the light just lit up on one of them. Say, that's a good one. Took that one. And they looked at another one, said, nah, not that one. You know, and then, you know, as each one got lit up like that, he picked five of them. And now he's ready. He's ready now because he got five, you know, strong word of the Lord, and he's got his faith, and he's going against this Goliath. But you only need one. One's going to take him down. You know, so David comes out against Goliath and he speaks to Goliath ahead what he's going to do. He said, yeah, you know, Lord's going to deliver me, you into my hand. I'm going to cut you off your head. You know, he didn't have a sword. All he had was a sling and some stones. Your faith in the word of God, those promises, power and take down any giant. You should listen to my lesson on slaying of a giant. You know, you can bring that down with your faith in the promises of God. And so that's what we were doing yesterday. And that's what we're going to do some more today. Once you find the scriptures, now remember our lesson on faith specs. Those of you who have been around for a while, you know it now. Some new people may not know it, but yeah, the advantage for those of you who have been here is, look, you know, you learn about the faith specs. You search the scriptures to find the promise. You're persuaded of that. It's an acronym. I love acronyms. S-P-E-C. Search the scriptures. Be persuaded when you find the promise. E, embrace it. And C, confess it. Confess is the word of your testimony. And this is taken out of Hebrews 11 and 13. They found themselves as strangers, but they saw the promise afar off. So you got to find a promise. The first step is search the scriptures for, that's a yes. See the promise. They saw the promise afar off. Then they were persuaded. That's the P. Then they embraced it. Then they confessed it. And that's how they did it. Your confession is that word of your testimony. When people stand in the court of law to give their testimony, they have to speak. Well, you can also write your testimony, by the way. But, you know, you speak it. Most of the time, God wants you to speak it. He said, this word shall not depart out of your mouth. When you meditate in it in your heart, then you speak it in your mouth. It's so powerful. But that's how God did it. We're learning from him, so we do the same thing. Now, so don't wait until it's all done. You know, Jesus said, well, blessed are those that don't see, but yet believe. You know, there was a man among his disciples whom we traditionally call Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, he wasn't there. And they told him, Jesus was here with us today. I don't think so. I don't believe it. You know, unless I see and put my hands in his clothes, in his face and this, I will not believe. And Jesus heard it. So Jesus waited for a time when he was there again with them and he came back. And because he heard what he said, okay, now come. You know, the mercy of God. Put your hands here, put your, you know, see and feel. And then you know that it's me. And then when the man saw, he said, oh, my Lord and my God. You know, say, hey, now you believe because you have seen. Well, blessed are those that don't see but yet believe. See, you don't need to wait until you see it. You believe. If you believe it, then you'll see it. You know, that's the way real faith works. It's not see first, then thank God for it. No, it's thank God for it, declare it first before you even see it. And if you understand even the depth of that, you'll know that God already done it, you know, because, you know, before he even did or does anything, he has already finished it. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, the scripture says, shall be forever. You know, it's already forever. It's not just one day he starts it. No, it was forever. He had done it and it's done. It's just the way it is. That's how he does his things. And nothing can be taken from it. You know, God doeth it, and men should fear before him. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. Now, the next verse, Ecclesiastes 3 and 15, very powerful. That which has been is now, right? And that which is yet to be has already been. As far as God is concerned, it's already done even before it happens. Now, I know this scripture means there's nothing new under the sun and so on and so forth. But yeah, the word of God is beautiful for every situation. God can reveal something to you in between the lines. And the day God revealed this to me in between the lines, that's when I started saying that, you know, God doesn't do anything until first he has finished it because of this scripture. Because he said that which is yet to be has already been. So God, it's already finished even before he did it. Praise the Lord. And if you can believe that, well, then you use your faith to declare and speak to the situation. Every one of you that spoke powerful declarations yesterday, I guarantee you, God's watching over that because you trusted in the Lord and you spoke. You came out boldly. You were not afraid. You know, the story of Joshua in Joshua 10:12, I said yesterday, Joshua was not afraid. He spoke, you know, in the sight of all Israel. He didn't go to a corner and just say, well, you know, because, you know, you can't, I mean, if you do it in a corner, if it doesn't happen, then nobody knows, you know, so you can hide like that. No, he came out, you know, openly. I mean, there were people who dared to believe God. And God had said, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And he come out openly and began to command the sun and the moon openly. Nobody had ever done any such thing. But did that matter to him? I call these people trailblazers. A trailblazer is somebody, you know, who God reveals something to them. They step out by faith. Whether they heard that it'd been done before or not, didn't matter. And even if you haven't heard that it has been done before, that doesn't mean it hasn't been done before. It just means you haven't heard of it. And even if truly it hadn't been done before, there's always a first time. You can be that trailblazer. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, there is nothing that you can decree in this room today that has not been done before. So there's not even, it's not so much of trailblazing. God's already done it for somebody else, you know. But even if you were the first, God can still do it. And there's a lot of firsts in the Bible. God did it. It doesn't matter whether they were first or not. Joshua was the first. Command the sun and the moon like that, you know. And they say, oh my goodness, you know, God never done anything like this for the people. But he did it. I mean, people can be a trailblazer. All you have to do is be it unto me according to your word. You can be that trailblazer. God found a woman. There was a word that God needed to fulfill, and he needed a vessel. So he looked, searched out, you know, sent the angel Gabriel to go search out a woman. You know, and then she told her, and this word was in Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. So the angel Gabriel searched out this woman and said, well, hey, young woman, you're highly favored of the Lord. Lord has chosen you. And so and so and so. She said, well, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not with a man yet, but you know, but he convinced her. He said, look, don't worry about it. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And therefore, the Holy Ghost and all these things, and that thing that will be born of you because the Son of God. Immediately she heard about the power of the Most High and all that. She believed. And she said, well, be it unto me according to your word. And that's all the angel needed. After that, the angel was done. He went away. You know, his job was now done. All he had to do is convince the woman to believe the word. Once the woman believed it and said, be it unto me according to your word, Gabriel said, I'm done here. He walked away. It's done. The moment she said that, she became pregnant. That's it. Done. And then Gabriel said, cool, I'm done. And he goes off to his next mission or whatever, or go to report the law, his next mission. But he's done. Now, if I myself, you know, this is the way I think of it. If I myself can get the people of God to believe the words that I preach and teach to them, then my mission is done. Because now I put the tools in your hands for you to do it. You know, the moment you believe it, you're pregnant. It's that simple. The moment she believed it, she was pregnant. Now we talk about another kind of pregnancy too. You know, the day is pregnant. I told about the womb of the morning. Psalm 110 verse 3. A womb means pregnancy is in the picture. So when the womb of the morning was used as a phrase, we realize that what God is telling us is that the day, the morning is pregnant, has a womb. Pregnant. Wombs are for carrying pregnancy. And it's going to birth something. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to just wait and let ko sera, sera, whatever will be. No. You're going to influence the outcome. That's exactly what Jacob did in those stories I told you yesterday. Influence the outcome of all those cattle that were mating, the ones that were good, strong, and had good DNA, influence them to bring out colors that will favor him, according to the agreement he had made with Laban. You know? So, when in the womb of the morning, you influence the day. Just sit back and let the day do whatever it wants. No. The day was made for us. We were not made for the day. Therefore, the day must be subject to us. You tell the day what it's going to bring forth. I call this day the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice in it. Speak to your day and you name the day. And, you know, it's similarly to your situation. Praise God. You name the situation that is barren now, you name it fruitful. The situation that dead bones now, you name it alive. You call it forth. Glory to God. You know, that's what the word of your testimony is all about. You do it now. Not wait until after the thing is done. Then you say, oh yeah, the Lord did it. Well, that's good too. But you can walk with God, can partner with God through the process. Partner with him. Jesus put a blessing on it. Now he puts it in your hands. You go now do it. You go feed the people. And Jesus is done. He just walks away. He didn't even look back. You know, he was done. You know, and then they came back later and say, oh, you know, and then Jesus said, well, gather up the fragments. Don't let anything loose. We waste it, you know. But as soon as he blessed it and put it in their hands, he was, his own part was done. He walked away, you know, and stayed apart and let them do. When they finish doing, they come and tell him. Praise God. So God put it in your hand. One woman came to the prophet. She gave, laid down all her problems. Her husband, who was a man of God, is now dead. Can't pay her bills. Creditors have come to take my sons into slavery to pay for what we couldn't pay. Elisha said, well, what do you have? Said, nothing but a pot of oil. Well, he gives the woman some instructions, some strategy. What to do? Go do it. You know? So the woman, she went and did it. As the man of God said. And as she was doing it, I was like, oh my goodness. She poured out. And bring me another vessel, you told the sons. They brought. She poured out. Bring me another one. She brought out. And I say, well, and the son went around all their neighborhood, borrowed as many vessels. Hey, we'll bring it back in a few days, you know. And now she said, bring me another vessel. He said, look, we are done. There are no more vessels. And then the oil stopped. See, if there had been vessels some more, the oil would have kept flowing. Till this day, the oil would still be flowing if there was any vessel to receive it. Now, that tells you something. You know, it's in your hands. The word's already given to you. Now, she came back, said, well, you know, I did as you said and all this. Okay. That was phase one. Phase two, you're going to get another strategy. Well, go sell all these things, right? And then now you can pay your debt. And say, oh, yeah. So she figured out what to do, you know. Now she can go do something with it, sell it, and pay her debt. And so every step of the way, God will give you strategy. But you're going to have to partner with him in that situation. Today, we start off with using the word of our testimony. So that's all we did yesterday. This is just a recap, and I threw in some more things there, just in case you missed it. So now you have, you know, what the lesson is all about. And you must speak it today in advance of the victories tomorrow, while you are still in the battle. That's the only way it can be used as a weapon. They overcame him with the word of their testimony. That it's a weapon. So it's a weapon if you use it while you are in the fight. It's not a weapon afterwards. After the fight, you lay down your weapons. You know, but if it is called a weapon, then it means you use it while you are in the fight. Before you see the end result. While you are waiting for the thing. You speak the thing that you are waiting for. Well, I think I've used great plainness of speech. I mean, you know, if anybody still doesn't understand this now, well, I don't know. I don't think you understand it. But pray that the Lord will give you understanding. That's why every day when I stand here or sit down or whatever, declare the word of God, I always say the entrance of your word, Psalm 119 verse 130. I quote it every single time. You know, it's not a ritual. That's the reason why I say it. The entrance of your word brings light. When that word enters your heart, all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. You know, and it gives you understanding. Once you get a hold of our understanding, my goodness, you know, you can do anything. Praise the Lord. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We will continue with declarations today, but I want to pray over the room. And I want to tell you something too. You know, there were some powerful declarations yesterday. I mean, I was screaming and I was hearing some of them. you know, so powerful. And then afterwards I said, Lord, well, hey, you know, you heard it. They said it to, you know, the angels, you heard it. They said it. What are you going to do about it? I said, you know, nothing, you know, it's already done because they spoke it. All they got to do is keep believing. See, that's the thing. You got to keep believing. I don't care how long it takes. Got to keep saying it and keep staying right there with it. Don't give up and don't turn back and don't let doubt creep in. Took Abraham almost 25 years, but he kept saying it. I'm going to be the father of nations. But that's what the Lord told me. Okay, Lord told you. Once the Lord tells you, get a hold of it. Once the Holy Spirit shows you, you get a hold of it and you stay with it. Abraham changed his name. Some of you can change your name. A sister told us yesterday she changed her name. Praise God. He said, you know, Pastor Adam preached something 2 weeks ago and I changed my name. Well, that's how you do it. Change your name to reflect the miracle that you are believing God for. Hallelujah. Change or name the situation. It may not be your name. Maybe the situation you want to name. Name the situation. The other day I spoke about the importance of names. Yeah. Name the situation. Call the situation that was forsaken. Call it now Hephzibah. Because it's now the Lord delights in that situation and it's now the chosen one. Glory to God. The chosen one now. Hallelujah. You know, call yourself when you are wanting to be married and you are single for a long time. Call yourself married or Beulah. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will show you. Just, you know, walking down that aisle. Praise God. So that's it. Enough said on that. I'm going to pray over the room and then I'm going to turn it over for you to run with it. And that's what God said, you know, and say, hey, you know, write the vision, make it plain, or speak it and make it plain. Well, we're making it plain that he may run that read it, well, or run that heareth. So as you are hearing, you better be running with it. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon tables. Well, in this case, tables of your heart. We're writing it, we're speaking it, we're making it plain, and we're plainly speaking it so everybody can understand it. Well, then, but you have to now run with it. Once you get a hold of it, run with it. Not just when you come into this room, but wherever you are. When you go out there after today, go out to your business, the marketplace, your home, whatever you're doing. Remember this word and run with it. When you are faced with any Goliath, remember that you got the power to pick out some 5 promises. But you're only going to need one. Go out against him with your faith in your hand and take a hold of those promises. One of them at least. Shoot straight for that Goliath. He's coming down. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you can use the word of God to change your situation. Father, I thank you. We have spoken your word. And you said it, so declare it that thou mightest be justified. Now your people are about to declare. Some have already declared, and some others are about to declare. And Lord, you said, as you have spoken in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Now those that have declared, thank you, Lord, because those declarations are now in the golden vials. And they come up before God from time to time, and it'll come to pass. Praise God. And those that are yet to declare, give everyone the boldness of Joshua, not to be in the corner to say it openly. And the Lord backs it up. Glory to God. Command the sun and command the moon. And the Lord backed it up right there because he was bold to come out and say it boldly. Praise God. Thank you. Because it's something God already said. God already said, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. So Father, we thank you, Lord, as your children believe God, and as they open their mouth, say, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Glory to God. I'll fill it with good things. Well, those good things can come from the treasure of your heart also. The preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue. As you prepare your heart by reading the word of God daily, the The Lord will put an answer of peace in your tongue to speak it forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.